joined now by Northfield Chief of Police, Jeff Schrepfer. How you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. Doing good.
Good. Happy New Year to you. How were the holidays?
Yeah, it was always quick and expensive.
And and you've got a fun thing coming up.
Yeah, right? Leaving on vacation here soon, and so taking the kids and wife on a cruise, and so we're looking forward to that. So
can't
wait to try and find some warm weather, but as we were just talking, it looks like it's going to be south. Or the further south you go, it's going to be cold as well.
Gotta love those polar vortexes, man. I just love to take things over.
What on earth is the jet stream doing down there? I mean, come on.
That's where us Minnesotas flee to, so it's supposed to be warm down there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just stay in Canada, for God's sake. Just mind your own business. So you were telling us that... A couple of years ago, we had a bear sighting, or a couple of bear. There was one bear who was sort of wandering around, and unfortunately, the bear got hit by a car on the freeway. But we have something even a little bit rarer that's been sighted.
So yeah, just yesterday, actually, we had a call of a bobcat sighting at the golf course.
Really?
So it's one of those interesting things where. We don't have pictures of it. We don't have video of it. But it's, you know, somebody called in and reported that they saw it. And then we had another email from a staff member that said they've seen tracks and stuff as well. So it's how rare is that, especially in Northfield? You hear the bear stories, you hear the moose stories, things like that.
You know, these animals are getting so sophisticated. He just probably wanted to play nine holes. I mean, it's like, hey, it's wintertime, I'm bored. Like, come on, man.
I guess I didn't realize. I would have assumed that bobcats hibernate, but like, I don't know. That's not a cat thing, is it?
I'm not nearly smart enough with animals like that.
Yeah.
We had a bobcat for a while up at our cabin who was taking full advantage of the fact that the cabin would be stand empty for you know weeks at a time. And we would come back to the cabin, and there would be these grisly murder scenes on the on the deck. This poor bird with just like was spread. It was awful, thankfully, no humans. And bobcats aren't necessarily dangerous to humans as long as you leave them alone, too, right?
And that's the biggest thing with any of these animals that we're not used to seeing here, whether it's bobcat or bear or moose, anything like that. It's just wildlife. Just leave them alone.
Yeah.
They'll go about their day. Yeah. Let's go about our day.
Exactly.
I mean, it's interesting to hear about it, and we can definitely take the calls. We can pass it on to the DNR as well if they have any concerns.
Sure.
But, it's... something you don't hear of every day, especially in Northfield.
No,
but.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've said moose twice. Have we had any moose sightings around here?
I think it was last year. I don't know about here specifically. And there was a traveling moose last year that had its own website.
Really?
As it
that's
traveled
funny.
Around.
Was it vlogging?
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, his podcast was interesting.
Yeah. He wants to get more followers on Instagram, right, so you know he's got to build that up. Get those endorsements.
Yeah. He's got some sweet antlers, so gotta show that off.
You know, he went as far south, I believe, as almost like northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, and then traveled back north again.
Wow.
Did it have some distinctive markings so people knew it was the same moose?
Well, it had a name, and I don't remember what it was, but name and a website.
I mean, I know moose aren't super common around here to begin with, so like that in and of itself makes it distinctive, but still. You got to kind of wonder.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, it sounds like work for Logan to try and research the traveling moose.
I'm making it. Logan is listening as we speak. I'm sure we'll have a report.
He can follow the bobcat.
Yeah, absolutely. Bobcat gets its own little website. I like it.
Here's hoping.
All right. We have a new school resource officer here in Northfield.
Correct. Isaac Dahl came back right after school started up after the holidays, so he's in the schools now. So
nice.
In the interim, we had Thad Monroe was working in the schools, which many, many people know Thad.
Thad is the greatest.
And his connection to the community, so it's great. Yeah.
Did he come out of retirement just to kind of fill that void for a while?
Well, not only did he come out of retirement to fill that, but he came fully out of retirement now and came back to work.
Is he back?
He's back. So.
Wow.
So, okay, now, if I have this right, my buddy Murph has actually hung it up, right? Mark Murphy is, has...
Yeah, so Thad kind of took Murphy's line of career path.
Because Murph has tried to retire a couple of times and didn't take, and this is the, hopefully this one works for you, man.
Well, he hasn't retired fully either.
So. Oh, he hasn't?
No, he's still working.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, I, you know, Mark, we're praying for you, man. But Thad is back. That's good news. I mean, because he was, if nothing else, great personality in the... in the police
department. And you're going to need all the personality you can get when you're a school resource officer. Because kids can be tough. But I was going to ask you, because I think you may have answered this question last time, but just real briefly, what does a school resource officer do?
So for us and many our cities, it's kind of this over or very broad goal or very broad work that they do, because it's one of those, you're a police officer, you're almost like a school counselor, you're a therapist, you're, you know, quite honestly, a friend and just a somebody for the kids to go vent to or have a conversation with, whether it's, you know, something they see going on in their house, something they see going on with their friends or bullying or anything like that.
Sure.
So, do they, Officer Dahl also teaches DARE, so he's got that connection as well.
Yeah, so. Okay. That was so he does my like question.
Some programming and then just general safety security, helping the kids out, helping the staff.
Exactly. Nice. And it's kind of that easy go-to person for the staff and the students of, like, they know that person. They have that immediate contact with them.
Yeah.
And the SROs have that contact with administrators and things as well in the school.
Yeah.
Truly, I mean, it's almost like he will be working more for the school than for me.
Right.
Mm.
So,
gotcha.
And I am 100% behind that because and it's...
That's a shared resource, right? Like the school pays for part of Officer Dahl and you guys pay for part.
Yeah, basically the school pays for half and we pay for half.
Yeah, okay.
And does the officer mainly stay at the high school or do they rotate between school sites?
They will go to any school that they're needed in kind of
thing.
So it's not, just wherever. Not school specific, it's wherever.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, great resource and great for the kids to get to know and have that positive interaction with.
So everything in school's been okay?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, typical school year where, you know, you have the childhood fights or you have disagreements with it, things like that or, you know, things going on at homes that hopefully we can try and help with. But, I mean, it's what our fear more is the you start getting into any drug use or, you know, even with marijuana, vaping is some big concerns for us. But to try and get on the front end of that is also very important.
Sure. Absolutely. Super
DARE comes into play. So.
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right. Cool. So with the holidays having passed now, things settle down during the holidays for a lot of people, but it's always sort of been my impression that things get a little bit busier for law enforcement during the holidays. Is that sort of is my impression correct there?
Yeah. So the holidays are always interesting in this profession because it's a combination of things. So we'll have the family disagreements when everybody's getting together and
who hasn't had the classic Christmas meltdown?
Exactly. I mean, you have that. And then we have, we're seeing in my opinion, influx of like shoplifting calls around the holidays. And even now after, it seems recently there's been quite a few of those as well. And it's difficult because it's one of those things where is it a hardship where they're trying to find gifts for family?
Right.
Or are they trying to get necessities?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or are they trying to steal the, you know, before I went on air, you were talking about TVs and sound bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's what are they trying to get?
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I paid for mine, by the way.
When you encounter issues like that where you are starting to see, like, oh, this person's shoplifting food, you know, something where it's like, you need that, you know, do you try and just say, like, okay, look, like, obviously can't do this, but like, here's some resources that might be able to really help you so you don't have to resort to this.
Exactly. I mean, that's the big thing to remember. And for the officers will help as much as they can with it. It's like, hey, we have resources in the community, in the county that if you need food, if you need clothing for yourself, for kids, that kind of thing.
Right.
Even to a certain extent, housing assistance. Mm-hmm. We can help. We have connections in the community and county that we can get the resources.
There's CAC, there's the Salvation Army, there's a lot of different resources, but that's got to be hard. I mean, just as a law enforcement agent, when you have to arrest someone who's desperate like that. That's right. That can't be easy.
Yeah, and fortunately, most of those aren't arrest.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll obviously have some intervention. It's obviously a crime, but it's how we can kind of tie them to resources is what's more important.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you're out stealing necessities. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when you're out stealing, you know, TVs.
These sweet headphones. Yeah, you know, exactly. It's like
okay, come on. I don't have sympathy for you there.
So. Yeah, you're just trying to lift something. Yeah,
exactly.
And at the end of the day, I mean, we all know that you start stealing those TVs and things like that, it's going to affect prices. Well, so it's going to affect all of us. So.
And on the mental health side of things, I would think that things sort of pick up there too.
Absolutely. It's a combination. It's almost like before Christmas, it starts ramping up a little bit because you get the depression of if they don't have family, if they don't have loved ones to spend time with, or they have some family dynamic that doesn't work great for them.
Right.
But then we see it continue after. And it's almost like recently, too, that we've had an uptick in mental health calls. And, I mean, the big thing to remember there is we have resources there as well that you can reach out. I mean, there's hotlines. There's, you know, we'll connect you with different things in the community as well to try and get that treatment. It's like there's always an answer, especially on the suicide line the line I always use is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yep.
Mm. So, yep. Let's get you the help and let's get you the resources to try and pull you through that. And there's such a stigma behind suicide and people are scared to come forward with it.
Yeah.
It's like, but there is light.
The, the county, has started the program with the community. I can't remember the name of the people, but you've got, basically a social worker embedded in the department, right?
Correct. Yeah. We have Dylan. So,
And Dylan, I'm sure was, had a lot going on at Christmas time.
Yeah, we keep Dylan busy. He's a great resource and a great person to have tied to us. And it's good for us, too, as a department that we get some training in that, but it's not nearly to what a therapist would be, a psychologist, a person like Dylan. That I mean, we can pull Dylan into those events and work with him or have him work with the person or families.
When you were with the State Patrol, and I think you spent the majority of your career with the State Patrol.
Correct.
Were there programs like that for troopers to lean on? But also, I know that there's also, you know, mental health check-ins for local cops too. Is there stuff like that for troopers also?
Yeah, there was. So we had a bit of a program there, more just the check-in for the troopers itself, not so much for the public.
Okay.
A little bit different here where, here we have both the resources for the public, but there's also resources for the officers. So every officer is required to go through it's called neck up checkup for a mental health thing. And that's something that the department funds and it's something that we mandate.
Yeah.
And even with follow up, just the things we see in this profession and the things we deal with, the people in their darkest moments.
Yeah, man.
Takes a toll on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we
provide that to the officers and it's
Your confidential. Your predecessor explained that to me in not graphic detail, but like you would say, you know, in your job you see people at their absolutely lowest all the time.
Exactly.
God bless you guys, man.
that's a really good benefit to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in your profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people aren't calling 911 for reporting bobcats. Most people are calling 911 on their worst days, and we're seeing them on their worst days.
Right.
And
so. Right.
Right. I mean, I feel like it's kind of like if you're, you know, like caring for someone, like if you have like an elderly parent or something, you know, like being that caregiver, it can be such a hard job sometimes. When you're having to see this to someone that you love, and it's like you got to take care of yourself just as much as you know. It's like it's great that you're doing what you're doing, but you got to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you're just pouring from an empty bucket,
right?
Exactly.
And same way with you guys.
Same way. You gotta take care of yourself.
Which leads us then to a program you were just telling us about that you are initiating with the department.
Yeah, so it's very early on, but one of the things I want to do here is start a chaplaincy program. In fact, just last week, I met with the Northfield Area Interfaith Community and had a conversation with them about it as well. And that was a large group of different face that we all met with and had a conversation just real briefly about it as something that let's start this program. And it, my vision of it is one of those things where bringing that faith community in, no matter what faith you are, and just having that resource. So if we deal with that worst case, I was just before I got in here, I couldn't help but notice that I follow obituaries.
Yeah.
So, like, wow, I don't know what Logan's doing to me here, but it's one of those things where that's the classic example of we have that death in a family. It's like we can only spend so much time there. We'll spend time with that family, especially if it's an unexpected death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But tying that in, if we can start the chaplaincy program and bring in a pastor or whatever denomination into that family and just give them a resource, we'll spend time with them and then have that transition into to that pastor, for instance, to take over.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side of it as well, where it's, I'd like to use it as a resource for the officers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just have that sounding board, like we were just talking about, of, hey, if you want to come in and have a one-on-one, it's all volunteer on the chaplain's part of it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So just have that one-on-one conversation, whether something's going on at home with yourself, with as being an officer, or you see something bad or deal with something bad. Or
so how does this work exactly? Does, I mean, would you have a kind of a, like a rotating chaplain, or would it just be these people are available and you can pick, call whomever?
So my vision would be more just having the pool of available chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd want to vet them a little bit.
Of course.
Just to have somebody reliable and trustworthy and would have that pool available where, maybe there's going to be times where it's going to be in like an on-call person, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But then other times, if we're at somebody's house and you figure out, hey, this is your religion, then we have that pool to pick from. It's like, hey, which one of these chaplains can we pull into this resource? Right.
So. Yeah, like if you're somebody who's Catholic, you know, it's like, hey, I'd really be more comfortable talking to a priest as opposed to just a non-denominational.
A Lutheran pastor.
Right. Right, right, exactly,
There is, like we were saying off air, too, there's no shortage of good clergy in this town. I'm not a person that goes to church, but I know a lot of pastors and a couple of priests even, and the priests, some, you know, priests are some of my best friends, come on.
But good save.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if I'm gonna get struck by lightning next year.
No, but like the people I know are such amazing folks that it almost, I would just not a church going guy, but those people would actually make me think twice about, like, maybe I do want to join a congregation.
I agree. And it's, you know, just meeting with them last week, it was a large group, and I honestly myself had no idea how many different ones were in Northfield and the Northfield area. And it's such a great pool. And it's interesting because when I brought this point up to them, I mean, every one of their heads was shaking yes.
Yeah.
So I know that there'd be huge support. I've had emails from them already of like, hey, when are we starting this kind of thing?
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to have the enthusiasm behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And something that will benefit the department, benefit the whole community, no question.
So. And it's one of those two, not only a benefit to the department and the community, but it's also a benefit because we wouldn't be paying them.
Right.
I mean, it's surely out of their heart that they're willing to do it.
Yeah.
So it would cost the residents nothing.
Yeah.
Just be another resource that we could provide.
So. That's super cool. That's great.
I just got to give you kudos and the entire police department, really, for just taking all these proactive approaches and connecting both the community you serve and the people who serve the community with resources. That's amazing. Good for you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's one of the things I love about living in Northfield. I mean, I don't have. Well, I've got complaints about my taxes, but that's about it. Right? City services and the police department is just, you guys are fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's you guys do an amazing job, and it's part of what makes this community so great. So thank you.
I appreciate that, and it's great to hear, for me to go out in the community and hear the comments like that from the residents and the visitors, that, you know, the great interactions they have with the police department. Because we all know, it's like, you always hope that's always the case, but there's going to be events that we're not going to have great interactions because it's either somebody's doing something they shouldn't, and we have to be the bad guy, if you want to call it that.
Right.
The one to break what they're doing. But on the other hand, it's like the nice part we have with the community, we don't have a high violent crime rate.
Right.
So we can, it gives us an opportunity to build those positive interactions and relationships. So.
Yeah, for sure.
As a former bartender, I always just love to see you guys around too.
Especially closing time.
Huh? Exactly right. All right. Jeff, is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we move on?
No, I'll just touch back to what we talked about a little bit last time, where it's still cold out. It's still snowing out. So be prepared for that. Be prepared for the snowy driving. I think there's more snow coming. So.
Be extremely prepared for this weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
Even if it's going to be, 70 degrees on a boat somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You are picking a great weekend to get away.
All right. Northfield Chief of Police Jeff Schrepper, we do appreciate your time, sir. Thanks a ton.
Appreciate it.